Okay, Joshua 14 and verse number 5. It says here, as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. They divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua, and Gilgal, Caleb the son of Jephunneh of the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, a man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, came from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now, I'll say something about this right quick. I got a sermon I preached on this, but notice what the Lord called Moses. The servant of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
The greatest thing God can ever say about you is you his servant.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I don't know that God ever called Moses the servant of the Lord till he died. He never called Joshua that till he died.
Yes.
You got to finish right. Amen. For God to say the servant of the Lord.
That's it.
What did he say for those that were faithful? Yeah. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Yes,
nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and the children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in.
Yeah.
Now therefore give me this mountain,
amen,
whereof the Lord spake in that day.
Yes.
For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and cities were great and fenced. It was so the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, amen, as the Lord said.
Yes.
Don't let nobody steal your dreams,
amen,
that God's put in your heart.
That's right.
That's right.
There's some things God's put in their hearts so strong. And even though some of them hadn't happened, they're going to.
Amen.
They're going to.
Yes,
God don't lie. He don't play games.
That's right.
Amen.
God always, when you serve God, there's always something to look forward to.
Yes, amen.
The best is always yet to come.
Right. Amen.
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 Verse 13. Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjathaarba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. You can be seated. I'm going to talk to you about Caleb's spiritual capital.
Amen.
Brother Terry, pray for us one more time, will you?
Our followers, we humble ourselves before you this evening. We ask God as we best know how.
Go, Lord.
God, we pray you fill with the Holy Ghost.
Go, Lord.
This evening, Lord, give clarity.
No, God.
Holy unction.
Oh, God.
Lord, give
Lord, thy will be done.
Lord, I pray you touch
us. Give us holy unction for this hour.
God,
we've come to be a blessing. God, we want to be a blessing. Do it, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. There's words in the Bible that's lost their meaning. When you think about the word hope, you think of a wish in our day. But that's not the word hope in the Bible. Hope is a well-founded and a well-grounded, confident expectation of a future event. And that's why it's called the blessed hope. Well-founded, well-grounded, confident expectation of a future event. That principle is so in the Christian life. If you're going to gain later, you got to give something now. That's the way this thing is. You know how some people have things in life and some don't. Because some people, instead of blowing everything they made, they started saving a little bit. If you have something at the end of the road, you got to put something into this thing. There's a principle in the Bible of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And when you're young, you can work. You better be saving, because those years of famine are coming. The years of bad health. The years years when you lose your sight and lose your hearing, and I forget the other things that you lose. I think it's your memory. But what I'm trying to say, God gives us an opportunity to do this thing long term. That's what it is. Your pastor has been here long term. You can't get nothing done if you ain't committed to it. That's what this story is all about. A man, thank God, who was long term and put his heart in it and kept his heart in it and wholly followed the Lord is God. In spite of the unbelief, in spite of that wilderness generation, he never got over what God put in his heart, and he stayed with it and he followed that. Life is an investment. If you're going to have something tomorrow, you got to invest today. I don't know what banks around here. If you go to bank to make a withdrawal tomorrow, you better put something in it. You go to take $1,000 out, you better put $1,000 in. You can't withdraw if you don't invest. The Christian life is one of investment, so that as you live your life, you can make withdrawals in prayer. That's what prayer is. It's making a withdrawal over investments that you've made with God. When trouble comes, hard times come, I hope you prayed before. I hope you got some rank with God. I hope you got some credibility with God. It ain't always what's said, it's who says it. Uh-huh. When you live for God, he gives you a voice.
Yeah.
He'll put power on what you say. Man, you gain rank with people. Our faithfulness today, our obedience today is capital for tomorrow.
That's right.
Boy, God pays attention.
Yes.
And God writes it down.
Hey.
Thank God Jesus went about doing good. I want to go about doing good.
Amen.
I want to be a blessing to people. Hey, man, I want to do something that lies in Revelation 5:8. And then Revelation 8, the Bible says that the prayers of the saints of God are put in a vial.
Oh, yeah.
And one day he's going to pour them out.
Amen.
What's that mean? That means he's going to answer them.
Amen.
That's right. Every prayer you ever prayed, you pray and you pray right. God answers prayer. Amen. Oh, thank God. What a hope we've got in God. We ain't wasting our time serving him. He didn't waste his time serving us. This thing matters to him. It might not matter to a lot of people, but it matters to him. Caleb. What do you think when you think of Caleb? You think of a man that wholly followed the Lord his God. Here's a man full of faith and full of obedience. Remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What kind of man was Caleb? A man you can follow.
That's right.
A man you can follow his example.
Right.
I mean a man that's got faith. I mean, is the glass half full or half empty? With Caleb, it's half full.
Amen.
Amen. He doesn't just look at the thorns. He sees the roses on the thorns.
Right.
Some people are so negative, they find something wrong with God.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I tell you, live your life in a positive way. Thank God where you've done things, where you're building capital in this world, where you got influence with people. So when you try to witness to somebody, they'll know you're real.
Right.
I love this word, capital.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not of the United States. I used to be proud of that. Ain't no more.
Yeah.
Lord, don't let me go down that rabbit hole. I won't get out. God won't let me cuss. I tell you one thing. Oh, Lord. Hey, I got to be raised in the old America. Thank God. Capital is accumulated assets. Accumulated assets. It means chief in importance or influence. Capital is not just money, it's influence.
Right.
Capital means to use one's means to take advantage of the name, the influence, the impact, the effect, the status that one has obtained.
Amen.
It means an emanation of spiritual or moral force. It means to have a positive effect because of the devotion, the allegiance one has achieved because of the excellence of a reputation. spiritual capital is the credibility of and quality of being believable, right, worthy of trust. It means to be trustworthy. In other words, it's something of a person, what they say, thank God, carries some weight. Amen. Carries some weight. Got power behind it. Amen. Got the punch behind it. Boy, it takes years in the United States military to become an officer. You can't only become one no more unless you go to West Point or one of the schools. It wasn't that way in the old days. You start at book private and then you make your way through. But the thing about rank, it takes years to gain rank, but you can gain it real quick under one circumstance. That's called war.
Right.
In the time of war, you can get rank quick. And if you're in the war, you can get rank with God. If you're just on the parade field, you ain't getting much rank there. But if you're in the trenches, in a foxhole, thank God, fighting a good fight of faith, you can gain rank with God. Caleb, he is the epitome of a man that gains spiritual capital.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this story is about a man that made an investment.
Yes.
45 years before.
That's right.
And now it's payday.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now it's time to make a withdrawal.
Yes.
What? Listen to me, dear saint of God. He stood when it counted.
Amen.
Right.
When everybody else ran off, he stood when it counted.
Yes, sir.
Anybody jump on a wagon going downhill, it takes somebody with some strength and dedication to push it uphill. I'm telling you, old Caleb, because of his faithfulness of standing when it counted. Can you imagine this scenario?
Tell it.
Over 2 million adults miss God.
Yes.
Not him and Joshua.
That's right.
They were the only two that didn't.
Right. Amen.
I'm determined. I know you are too. Hey, Samuel, you got that determination in your soul. If everybody else quits on God, I ain't quitting. By God's grace. Old Dr. Ray said, go ahead and goof off. I'll get you rewards.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the principle of the pounds and the talent.
Yeah.
You don't do nothing what God gave you. Them that did's going to get what you could have.
Right.
Boy, that's a Bible principle.
Yeah.
Caleb, we see the longevity of faithfulness. A man with the heart of a warrior.
Amen.
Boy, don't you like a warrior?
Yes.
Man, this is a warrior.
Yes.
This is a fighter. Caleb had vision.
Yes.
Boy, that vision will motivate you.
Boy.
You know what? A man got credibility with God, sees what other people can't see.
Amen.
Oh, he saw victory. He saw the land. He saw the grapes. He saw the fruit.
Yeah.
And he saw the enemy.
Right.
And he saw them dead, dead, dead.
Amen.
He saw the vision.
Right.
You know why? He believed God's word.
Amen.
And God quickened that word and gave him faith to stand and see things that others did not see.
Yes.
Number two, he didn't just have vision. He had virtue.
Right.
Boy, this man's faithful.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you hang your hat on him. He ain't out here chasing somebody else's wife.
That's
He's faithful. Number three, he got valor. Boy, don't you like brave people?
Amen.
Courage.
Sure.
Man, he had courage.
Hey.
And then because of that, he had victory. 45 years before, Moses sent 12 men, a prince from East Tribe.
Right.
Now, you ought to know already what people thought of him. He's chosen out of the whole tribe of Judah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joshua came from the tribe of Ephraim. That's Joseph's tribe.
Uh-huh.
So here's Joseph and Judah going into the Canaan land with them other 10 unbelieving men. But these were the best the tribe had. They're the ones they represented. He's 40 years old,
yeah,
and he goes into the land of Canaan to do reconnaissance,
yeah,
of the land.
All right.
Why? Because they're going to find out the strength of the land.
Yes.
God set this thing up. Because everything, listen to me, folks, listen to me. Everything in life's a test. It's all a test.
Right.
Adam and Eve in the garden, it's always a test.
Amen.
You're going to have a test tomorrow.
Right.
And you're going to keep taking it till you pass it.
Amen.
You like Jethro Bodine, you're going to stay in the sixth grade, you pass.
Yeah.
God ain't going to move you up just because he feels sorry for you.
No,
you got to pass the test. Boy, I tell you, if you pass it, you don't have to take it again. Amen. Thank God. So he goes up in 10 out of 12, bring back an evil report. Okay, you know this story. I'm not, Brother Terry's probably preached on this 1,000 times. Here's 1,001. Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit.
Yes, sir.
Because they had seen something different than anybody else had. They come back and said, Moses, it is fertile and filled with abundance.
Right.
I tell you how abundant that land was. It took two men to carry a tag of grapes.
Right. Yes.
Man. But them things must have been the size of grapefruits. You think about taking two men to put them on a pole. They're saying, Moses, it's everything that God told you it was and is worth the fight and is worth taking.
Amen.
Because they know all they had to do show up.
That's right.
I mean, look at that fiasco happened to old Pharaoh and the greatest empire in the whole world that time. Yeah. And God put them in the bottom of the Red Sea and then washed them up on the bank.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I think if God can take care of the biggest enemy they ever faced, these city states are no match for God. Right. The other 10 men, their report was evil.
Yeah.
Because it's full of unbelief.
Right. Right.
Now, we know how wicked this world is. Ain't no need to even get into it.
Right.
Man, you preach the rest of the night how evil this world is.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's full of violence, vulgarity, vice.
That's right.
Just wickedness.
Amen.
I can't even think as wicked as some people act.
That's right.
Now, if I wasn't saved, I could.
Tell it.
What did the 10 men say? They said, Moses, it's all you said it was. Nevertheless,
that's right.
Despite all that, the people are strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the Anakim there.
Yep.
Right.
Well, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me, folks. I don't know if you ever paid any attention to this. Israel has never fought anybody that wasn't bigger than them. They're little people.
Yeah.
Most of them about 5'6", 7", probably.
Right.
Saul's 6'4", 6'6".
Yes,
he's head and shoulders taller than anybody else.
Yes.
And Goliath, Lord God, what a name. He's about 10 foot tall at least.
Yeah.
And those Philistines were big people,
right.
Seafaring people. And a lot of these people in the land were giants. I'll tell you one thing, God will never let you face the enemy that you don't have to trust him. They're always bigger than us. But they ain't bigger than him. That's why it takes faith. Because the enemy is so powerful and so strong. All the faithful men in Israel should have cried out, what are you talking about? Nevertheless. What did God say? What did God say? What did God say? He said, I'm giving you the land.
That's
right. It's the land of promise. Dear church, you got that land in front of you.
Amen.
It's still there.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you probably in it.
Yeah.
And you fighting the giants. I don't doubt that a bit.
Right.
But despite the promises of God, they said the inhabitants are strong.
Oh, yeah.
And then they said the cities are fortified, walled up and huge. Then they said we saw Anak, the giants.
Right.
Despite God's promise, the Amalekites are there and the Amorites are there and the Jebusites are there and the Canaanites are there.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be like Orkin and kill all them termites. Lord God, that bunch, whoever named them are, got to be kin of the devil.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to find a more unbelieving and unfaithful report.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, this is a disgrace to the God they serve.
That's right.
Boy, this is less than 2 years after they saw the Lord deliver them from Pharaoh and his army.
Wow.
Every single day, God rained man out of heaven.
Yes.
Except on the Sabbath day, and he gave them twice as much on Friday, hey, so they'd have plenty to eat. I'm talking about 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt. God bankrupted them financially, economically, socially, politically, and militarily. He humbled them. And then when they left there, those women of Egypt got so touched their heart, They weighed them down with so many riches, gold and silver and different jewels. That's how they built that tabernacle, out of all that Egyptian gold and silver and jewels. They had to take their young'uns to carry off the spoil. Why? To the victor goes the spoil.
Right.
And the blood of the Passover lamb was put on the doorpost and the lintel. I'll tell you what that forms. It forms a cross.
Amen.
And that blood dripped down on the ground. The north, south, east, and west was covered.
Yes.
By the blood, of firstborn males of Egypt were slain. But the Red Sea, I'm telling you, when God put that, had them put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, it represented justification.
Yes, sir, that's right.
But when they went through that Red Sea, that's regeneration.
Yeah. Amen.
When you got saved, you didn't just get forgiven. You got a new spirit.
Amen.
And new heart. And God put a perfected place in you for him to live, called the Holy of Holies and called the Spirit of Man. I know you've heard this. Let me just show you right quick how big God is. To let you know, there's no excuse in them not believing the Lord.
That's right.
I ain't got no excuse today either.
That's right.
I got 66 books of all these miracles.
Amen.
You know, God wrote that Bible. It's called one word, prophecy.
Amen.
Right. Only God can give prophecy. All through that Bible, God foretold things that was going to happen, and he's batting 1,000.
Yeah.
That's right. Everything he said is happening. What about all this anti-Semitism? It's got to happen in the last days for the Antichrist to come to power. Man, it's happening right before our eyes. I'm telling you, God's given us evidence. Thank God. It's like the Red Sea crossing.
Yes.
You ever thought I'd like to? Well, how'd you like to have been there?
Right.
I was there.
Yeah.
How'd you like to see that manifold from heaven? I seen it.
Amen.
Yeah. How'd you like to see the Lord feed all them people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? I seen it.
Tell it.
Yeah. Because when I read it, I saw it.
Yeah.
And it's as real to me, because that book's right as if I was there. I can read this Bible and go back 6,000 years. I can get in the middle of this thing. Had an old deacon one time tell me, you'll never worship God without using your imagination.
Amen.
You got to put yourself there.
Amen.
Lord God, let God expand your mind, expand your heart. Quartermaster in the United States Army once calculated the provisions that would be necessary to feed 3.5 million people in the wilderness every day. Listen to this. We're talking about 40 years. When they come out of Egypt, they didn't come out through the Red Sea. They didn't cross that Red Sea 2x2. If they would have, the line would have been 800 miles long. Took 35 days and night. So, for them to get across the Red Sea in one night, it had to be 5 miles across. 50,000 abreast.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God parted that thing. And they went over on dry ground. So God delivered them from their slave masters.
Yeah.
And God watered them and fed them for 40 years. 3.5 million people.
Amen.
Now, some of y'all were raised in a house. You didn't have a bathroom, you had a bath.
Yeah.
And the big thing back then, that your mamas and daddies and grandparents, their biggest burden was having enough water and enough wood. Because you cooked with wood, you heated with wood, and therefore you always had to have wood and you had to have water. And you had to carry it. You had to go to a creek or a river, or you had to pull it up out of the bottom of a well. What I'm trying to say, how much water would it take to water 3.5 million people?
Yeah.
Not just them, but their animals.
That's right.
You know how God done that? There's a rock to follow them, which is Christ.
Hey.
Dear people, listen. That wasn't some little old trickle.
No.
It was a gushing river.
Amen.
There ain't no way 3.5 million people can drink water every day in their animals without it being a wide river.
Amen.
And right in the middle of that desert, God had that river running through it.
Amen.
Everywhere they went,
right.
I'd say he be big God. Amen.
Yes.
1,500 tons of food a day. Two freight trains, each a mile long, to feed 3.5 million people. 3 million pounds of food a day. 8 million pounds or 4,000 tons of firewood if you had to cook all your food.
Yeah.
5 more freight trains a mile long to bring the train or the wood. 11 million gallons of water a day to drink and wash themselves. A freight train, a tank car of 1,800 miles long just to bring the water.
Yeah.
And God just did it.
Hey.
And you worried about some little old walled city? That insults God. You worried about some giant in there? That insults God. Don't be looking at giants, be looking at God. Don't look at the foe, look at the fruit. Amen. God protected them. Man, they'd have burned up in that desert. God put a cloud above them.
Yes, sir.
And a pillar of fire by night that froze to death at night. God gave them central heat and air condition every day for 40 years. I believe that.
Amen. Amen.
How can you see that and doubt God? Because of our wicked heart of unbelief. That's the way we are. Hey, don't you let Satan rob you of the promises of this book. Believe what God says, and he'll use you. So he just delivered them from the greatest army in the whole world. And they can't deliver them from him, the old Jerichoites.
Yeah.
Verse 29, the Anakims dwell in the land of the south. Hittites, Jebusites, Samurais dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Numbers 13:30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, we are well able to go up against the people, for they are not stronger than we.
Right.
Hey, they're not stronger than God's promise.
Amen.
There ain't nothing stronger than God's promise.
Amen.
God said it. That settles it.
Yes.
And I'll get blessed if I'll just believe it. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched to the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we've gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. All the people we saw in it are men of a giant stature.
Yeah.
Folks, unbelief,
yes, sir,
lies and exaggerates.
It does.
There were giants in the land. But the land wasn't eating up all the people. Nobody could have lived there.
Right.
Verse 33. There we saw the giants of the son of Anak. Which come of the giants? We were in our own sight grasshoppers. Yeah. Now, let's just use some common sense. Yeah. If you're a grasshopper compared to these people, they're over 200 feet tall. If you're a grasshopper.
Yeah.
You see how stupid unbelief is. You see what an idiot it makes out of you.
Right.
So now they're exaggerating and assuming the worst. You know what a lie is? A good lie is always a mixture of truth.
Yeah.
But it'll always have that poison in it. Old Caleb commanded the people. He said, he tried to quieten them down. Trust God. They're bred for us.
Right.
Why? Because God's doing our fighting.
Amen.
Boy, you can be real bold. You know Simon Peter.
Yeah.
You know how bold he was? They come to arrest Christ. They sent about 600 men.
Yeah.
He cut off the ear of Malchus right in front of the whole crowd.
Right.
Because you belly bad when Jesus is standing beside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when the Lord wasn't beside of him, he melted in front of a little old teenage girl.
Right.
Boy, if you're aware of the presence and the power of God, you can stand against anything. Faith and unbelief both come from the heart. Faith and fear can't dwell in the same heart.
Amen.
Numbers 14, all the congregation panics in fear. They weep all night, murmured against Moses, Aaron, and the Lord. They accused God of bringing them into a land to kill them and their children. If God wanted to do that, all they had to do is let them stay down there in Egypt. How stupid is this? I'll tell you one thing. When you don't want to obey God, you start talking stupid.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
When you're not behind the church going forward, oh, we'll go bankrupt.
Tell it.
Oh, how are we going to make it? We're going to make it the same way our grandparents made it. We're going to believe God, trust God, and live for God.
Amen.
Joshua and Caleb were in their clothes in grief. and tried to reason with the people. You can't reason with people of unbelief.
Amen.
Because they don't have faith. They're full of fear.
Right.
Chapter 14, verse 7, they said it's an exceeding good land. Verse 8 and 9, the Lord delight in us. He'll bring us into the land and give it to us. A land that floweth with milk and honey. Now think about that.
Yeah.
If you got milk and you got honey, you got pollination and you got fertility.
Right.
You got to have all that grass, have all them cows.
Yeah.
You got to have all them bees to pollinate all that fruit.
Yeah.
Milk and honey represents wealth and prosperity. He said, only rebel not against the Lord.
Right.
Neither fear the people of the land. They're bred for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not.
That's right.
So, here's the mighty Moses, a colossal of a man, the greatest man in the Old Testament. No man saw God face to face like Moses did.
Right.
Moses, they about to stone him.
Yes, sir.
Unbelief can't stand somebody got faith because it challenges them and they get under conviction.
Amen.
They can't stand somebody praise. They can't stand somebody got God on them.
Amen.
They got to run around people as dead as they are.
Right.
And full of unbelievers they are.
Yep.
Now Joshua, in Joshua 14, Caleb tells Joshua, he said, remember that day Moses promised me that mountain. Now I've come to make a withdrawal. I made an investment then. I believed God. I trusted God. I stood with God's man. And now I've come to withdraw the promise of God.
Amen.
He said, I've waited 45 years for this.
Yes, sir.
He said, Joshua, by the way, Joshua's the same way. He said, I'm as strong right now.
Yes.
85. That's what was at 45 or 40.
Right.
45 years before.
Yes,
that ain't nothing. Moses was as strong at 120.
Yes.
As he was at 30.
Yes, sir.
His eyes were not dim.
Right.
His natural strength was not abated.
Right.
He said, how do you understand that? They ate of the fountain of youth. God stopped the aging process.
Amen.
Now each year they got older, but they didn't get weaker.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
If they hadn't disobeyed God, that manna's from heaven.
Yeah.
That's a miracle food.
Amen.
That's got steroids in it.
Amen.
That's got nutrients in it. That's why they didn't age.
Amen.
They've been eating from heaven's throne. And you have a stronger faith right now at 85 as you had at 30. Have a whole lot more. This thing of serving God, we can get stronger as the days go by. For the glory of God. I mean, old Moses, he'd do as many pull-ups at 120. He didn't even die of old age. God just put him to sleep.
That's it.
Yep, that's right.
Now, Caleb and Joshua, that manna was cut off.
Yes, sir.
And when they broke them stones, set up that monument, God cut the manna off.
Right.
They ate the old corn of the land,
right.
And then the next day, God cut the manna off.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And they got to aging.
Amen.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, how are you going to explain it?
That's right.
How in the world could a 120-year-old man as strong as he was at 30? That ain't right.
That's it.
Hey, man, I'm going to believe it anyhow.
Me too,
God showed me that one time. I've been shouting about it.
Amen.
Joshua went from being a second man to being the leader.
Yes, sir.
Why? He stood.
Amen.
He stood when it mattered.
Right.
I mean, from going to spy to being a general, I got to hurry.
Yeah.
So as Paul got older, he became a mentor to a lot of people.
Right.
They say that an older man, that a preacher always needs somebody older than him to be his mentor.
Sure.
Yeah.
He needs somebody his age he can confide in.
Right.
He needs somebody younger than him that he's pouring his life into.
Yeah.
Hey man, you stay faithful, God will give you credibility. Yeah. Hey, if you want to end right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord and their works do follow them.
Yes.
You want a train load of works following you, you got to do something while you're alive.
That's right.
That's right.
Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my latter end be as theirs. You can't die the death of the righteous if you don't live the life of the righteous.
Amen.
Children grow up in this church, they'll know your testimony.
That's right.
They don't know your testimony.
That's right.
They've been here any length of time.
I'll
tell you, Brother Terry, I believe it's everything in me. One of the greatest gifts that you could ever give your children, your grandchildren, is at your funeral, then play your testimony on video or tape. You tell them when you got saved.
Amen.
If it ain't real to you, it ain't going to be real to nobody else.
Amen. That's right.
What a heritage to leave behind.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
When God saved my soul,
tell it.
I believe in that middle man. On a skull-shaped hill and a blood-soaked cross,
amen,
they hung him high and they stretched him wide. And for you and me, he bled and died. Amen. Amen. I'm saved and going to heaven because of that man on the middle tree.
Amen.
The greatest acts of Abraham and Sarah was in their old age.
Yes, sir.
Abraham's 100. Sarah's 90 when old Isaac's born.
Yeah.
She dies when she's 127. He's 137. He marries Keturah. When God fixed him, he fixed him. He's having young as badly dies.
Right.
I'm talking about fruitful in old age.
Amen.
When you retire, it ain't time to step down. It's time to get more powerful than you've ever been.
Amen.
That's right.
The greatest untapped resource we got's our retired people.
Yeah.
If they get to praying.
Right.
What about Zacharias and Elizabeth? Oh, Zacharias told the angel, she's well stricken in years.
Amen.
That means she's at least 90. You start getting old at 70. But when you're well stricken in years, you're over 90 years old. And she's having a young one, probably older than Sarah was.
Uh-huh.
What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, amen, when you get older can be your best days. Joshua 14:10, and behold, the Lord have kept me alive.
Hey.
That's right.
Thank God. I'm glad I'm still breathing.
Yes,
amen.
Glory to God.
Yes,
I'm still above ground.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. And I'm still in love with the one that bled and died for me.
Yes, thank God.
Boy, when you get older, what about Anna? She's 100-some years old. She's up there at the temple being the mentor of all the women that come up there, come to the temple.
Amen.
God's using her, and she's a prophesying. She was a prophetess. That means God let her know the future. Here's a woman can come, and she can pray and say, God's going to give you a husband in a year.
Uh-huh.
That's what that means.
Right.
I've met people like that. God told them his secrets.
Yeah.
That don't mean she's a preacher.
Right.
That means she foretold things. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 2:34, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him all that looked for redemption in Israel.
Yes. Yes.
Who else God have? Another old man. His name's Simeon.
Yes, sir.
Boy, the older you get the youngins raised and get the empty nest.
Free.
Boy, you got time to go after God. Hey, listen, don't waste your last years on the sideline. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach.
Amen.
If you're out with God, you in.
Amen.
All God's people's on the field.
Exactly.
If we're right with God, we ain't sitting on the sideline. We ain't sitting on the bench.
Amen.
We're in the game if we're right with God.
Right.
Boy, the longer you walk with God, the stronger your testimony gets, thank God, and the more you can encourage other. Paul told the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands.
That's right.
I got to hurry now. I'm going to show you all something.
Yeah.
Here is the blessing of a godly, full of faith, and the Holy Ghost deacon. These truths are mentioned in the faithful execution of the office of a deacon. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, that's like Joshua and Caleb's, like Moses' deacons, his ministers. Well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know that powerhouse deacon was in the book of Acts? Stephen.
Yes.
He purchased himself a great degree. All the blessing to learn how to submit to the authorities in your life. Boy, this spiritual capital, spiritual credibility.
Amen.
Nobody walks in the back door of a church with credibility because people don't know you.
Right.
You lay hands on no man suddenly.
Right.
And people start watching you. And they hear your testimony.
Yes, sir.
And they hear you pray. And they watch your life. And they say, hey, I believe they're real.
Yeah.
And they watch you a little longer. Hey, I believe they're real.
Yeah.
A person that's got spiritual capital, people will be drawn to them.
Yes, sir.
You know why? They got something to say.
Amen.
They know that book and they know the mind of God.
Right.
And they got experiences.
Amen.
You know what? Some people can say something and offend everybody. Somebody else can say something and influence everybody.
Right.
What's the difference? It's credibility.
Yes, sir.
So let me go and finish this. Let's shuck this corn down the cob right quick. Parents ought to have spiritual credibility with their children.
Amen.
Now, your children may not always serve God, but they ought to know you do.
Right.
Somebody got to have an example.
Hey.
Thank God I grew up around people I knew was saved.
Tell it, brother.
Before I ever got saved, I knew these people it was. And I knew this thing is real. Because I watched people's lives. Oh, what a blessing to be raised around people that thank God live for God and you know they're saved.
Amen.
Caleb's great victory, Brother Terry, was delayed. Because of unbelief, not his.
That's right.
Other people.
Exactly.
I wonder how many years the real victory God wants to give to this church has been delayed.
That's right.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah. That's right.
Where I'm at here, a lot of places.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
What God's doing, he's wanting to fulfill these promises he's put in our heart.
Amen.
Our victory, don't miss this, is connected with each other.
That's right.
Amen.
If your pastor is successful, you will be too.
Yes, sir.
If you're successful, he'll be. There ain't no man can preach like a man's got his people praying for him. That's what Spurgeon said.
Exactly right.
Some of you have suffered because of the disobedience of others. The disobedience, maybe your parents, maybe a spouse, maybe a preacher, maybe church members, but you've been held back because of the lack of faithfulness of other people. But you laid right in there, said, I know what God put in my heart, and I'm going to stand with it till I get the mountain. Oh, what a blessing.
Yes, sir.
Have God tell you secrets. That's what gives you faith. The Bible says in the great tribulation, the saints of God, if it were possible, the Antichrist and false prophets would deceive the very elect.
Yes,
you know why they can't deceive them? Because they know God's word.
Amen.
If they didn't know God's word, they could be deceived.
Right.
But because they know God's word, they'll not be deceived.
Right.
Everything that glitters ain't gold. You know that.
Yes.
Amen.
So we see here, praise God, Joshua 15:63, the Jebusites dwelled in the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. They wasn't driven out over and over and over in the book of Joshua. We see the inability of them to drive out all the enemy, but Caleb drove out not just the enemy, but the dreaded giants of 45 years before.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you this right quick. What did David do when he killed Goliath? He cut his head off with his own sword.
Yep.
And where did he go? He ran to Jerusalem.
Yes.
And he held up that head of Goliath, said, hey, you're next.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know what Caleb said? It's bye-bye now, but you're next. And he waited 45 years to get his hands on that demon hide.
Amen.
He could have took them 45 years before had it not been the unbelief of others. Oh, thank God. Hey, there's a lot of victories we could have won if we could have just got the people behind the will of God.
True.
Let me give you a couple of illustrations.
Amen.
Heard of a very rich man who loved art. Loved art.
Yeah.
One day he got an art magazine. He seen this beautiful painting, Brother Terry. He said, I gotta have that painting right there. He calls in his man that's over all of his buying of his artwork, because money's no, there's no limit to the money. He's just got, he like a billionaire. He can buy anything he wants.
Right.
He said, I don't know where it's at, and I don't know who's got it, but I gotta have it. I got all them buildings full of paintings, but I want that.
Uh-huh.
You know, man's eyes ain't never satisfied. Not unless he's satisfied in God.
That's right,
man.
And so that man got to looking for that piece of art. He comes back in about 3 months and said, sir, about that painting. I got good news and bad news. He said, well, let's hear the good news. He said, a very, very wealthy man owns that painting. He said, but there ain't no way he's going to sell it. That's the bad news. I found it. But a very wealthy man's got it, won't sell it. He said, who's that man? He said, it's you. It's been down there in one of your buildings for years, and you didn't even know you had it. We've had this power the whole time. We've had these promises the whole time. Oh, God, help us to reach in and believe what God says. Well, God means business. Why did Caleb have such boldness and confidence to ask such a thing? Because he believed God. He got a promise from God. He stood when nobody else would. He stood when it mattered. He stood against all of the pressure of all. I'm talking about two men. Them 20 and older, just two men believed God. Because his faith would be rewarded. Because he believed God. He aggressively went after it. Caleb followed the Lord. The Bible says here, wholly followed the Lord. And Caleb and Joshua had another spirit.
Yes.
Wonder how many times.
That's right.
Oh, Joshua. He's a captain. And God's training him to be the big heifer, the big chief, the big cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to replace Moses. Wonder how many times old Caleb encouraged him. Uh-huh. Said, Joshua, remember we went over there in that land? We're going to suck them grapes. We're going to suck the juice out of them grapes.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to behead that crab. We're going to win. And old Caleb said, you remember what God promised us? He going to do it.
Yes.
True story. Roman Empire. They finally got to England. Julius Caesar went across between France and England. And my goodness, I forgot the name of that. What's that water? Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'll think of it in a minute. The English Channel. He went and took his men over there. He got them all out and took them up to the cliffs of Dover. When he got all of his troops to the cliffs of Dover, he said, now, men, turn around and look out over the English Channel. Every ship was set on fire. He burned every ship down and destroyed them. He said, men, there will be no retreat.
Yeah.
That's the attitude we need. Great God, don't you retire me. You refire me.
Amen.
He deliberately cut off any possibility of anybody going back defeated.
That's it.
I don't have time to preach this. I'll just mention it. Sister Nikki, you want to come play something here in a second?
Amen.
Revelation 2 and 3. Every church, God gives a promise to the overcomer. Don't you? I mean, if the Lord didn't say this stuff, God wants you to labor for the reward. I mean, you say, well, the Lord's my reward. I agree with that.
Sure.
I agree. And serving the Lord, Brother Terry, we don't need to be rewarded, but I'm not the one promised it.
That's right. That's it.
God did.
That's right.
So if he promised it, why shouldn't I want it?
Amen.
Right.
Especially who's giving it, especially what he's got.
Amen.
Lord
Amen.
God Almighty.
Absolutely.
Here's what he said in Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne to those that overcome. What you talking about? Overcoming what?
Yeah.
That's Laodicea.
Amen.
If you overcome the indifference of this age, that's what it is.
Yes.
If you'll overcome the lukewarmness, the compromise, and the self-reliance of this age, and you believe God and trust God, and you end up still believing the Lord, he is going to give you a special reward for standing against the compromise of this age.
That's right.
Second John, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but we receive a full reward. But Terry, we work today for tomorrow.
That's right.
We save today to have something tomorrow.
That's right.
We labor with God today so we can have it here as well done tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Hey. You got to see. Some people can't see the forest for the trees. You got to see the big picture.
Yeah.
God's left you down here. I want to tell you how much the Lord loves you. He loves you so much that he'll aggravate you, just aggravate you, to do something for him. And then finally you'll do it.
Yeah.
Then he'll empower you to do it.
Yeah.
He'll set up all of the circumstances so you can do it. And then when you do it, he'll let you feel like you've done something. Now, who can't serve a God like that and then reward you for it?
Amen.
When God was behind the whole thing.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you can start your investments tonight. Pray.
That's right.
Right, brother.
Give God your heart. He's already in there. Give it to him.
Amen.
Yield to him.
Yes.
Ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
Would you agree with me in closing that God said, be you filled with the Spirit?
Yeah.
Sure.
Then there's a part of you empty.
That's right.
If you wasn't empty, you'd already be filled.
Yes,
what part of you is empty? Your soul.
Amen.
Your spirit's filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But your soul's where your mind, will, and emotion is. And when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, when you're yielded to him and your sins are confessed and he moves out of that holy of holies into that holy place and he gets in your emotions, your mind, and your will,
yes,
and expresses himself through your body, and he said, out of your belly will flow, your belly's your spirit.
Yes.
Will flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
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 That's what we should want.
Amen.
Lord God, I just want all you got for me. No more, no less. Just give me my inheritance.
Amen.